Well, I do want to preach just a little bit this morning, and just kind of kick off the series for us today. But thank you so much for some of these things that have happened in the second service the last month or so have just been really sweet moments in the presence of the Lord. Some of this may be familiar to some of you, and some of it may be very new to others. But regardless, the Holy Spirit has met us in very special, powerful ways, and I want that in my life. Anybody else got that with me? I want that in my life, and so thank you. Thank you for coming to church today and for worshiping with us and for now breaking open the Word of God with us. I'd like you to turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 3. And then when you find Ephesians chapter 3, I'd like you to turn to Genesis chapter 15. And those will be the two scriptures that we read together this morning as we begin the series. So normally I would have you stand, but I'm going to keep you seated today simply for the fact that you've been standing a lot this morning, and I want to be sensitive to that, and I'm planning on preaching till 1:30, so I figured I'd give you guys... No. I think I saw a legitimate terror on some of your eyes. Oh, man, of all the days I didn't bring a lunch... Ephesians chapter 3, we'll begin in verse 20, and we'll go from there. This is what the word of the Lord says. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Let's just pause and sit there for like 10 seconds, 5 seconds, and think about what we just read. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Genesis chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? I think that's interesting. Let's pause and just think about what we just read right there. Abram says to the Lord, what can you give me? God made the promise, I am your shield, I am your very great reward. Abram's response is, God, what can you give me? Does that strike anybody else as a little bit humorous? It does me. What can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram continued and said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. This is where I kind of want to hit and emphasize this morning, verse 5. He took him outside. He took him out of the tent, I believe the King James says. God took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Pray with me. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power that is in the word of God. Thank you, God, for this Sunday, the time that we have carved out to be here. We pray now that the word would speak to us, that it would be life to us, that what we hunger and thirst for would be quenched and satisfied because we purpose to be in the Word of God. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Give us the mind to understand, the heart to receive, and the courage to do what you are asking us to do. We thank you for the power of your Holy Ghost. We thank you that all of us can leave here changed by that power. In Jesus' name, can you agree and say amen? Amen. Limitless is the series. And Over the next 3 weeks, today we're going to talk about prayer. The limitless capacity of prayer. The limitless potential of prayer. This idea that prayer indeed can be limitless. Next week, we're going to talk about the presence of God. And how the presence of God is not confined. The presence of God is limitless. The week following that, we're going to talk about power. The power of the Holy Ghost and how it is not limited. It is indeed limitless. And so this will be the framework of the next 3 weeks that we spend together. And as Shireen and I were building this graphic here, we landed on this picture partly because of what I read in Genesis chapter 15. So if we go back to Ephesians chapter 3, just leave the graphic up for me, Anthony. If we go back to Ephesians chapter 3, we read that God is to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. This is a great example of what immeasurably looks like. We have not even come close to being able to map our current galaxy. We know where some places are in our solar system, but we have not even come close to being able to map what is in our galaxy, let alone all of the galaxies that we have sent spacecraft to take pictures of, let alone the galaxies that are light years beyond anything that we can really wrap our normal brain around, and we understand that space is limitless. It is vast. It is huge. And then Ephesians 3:20 says, God is able. God is able to do immeasurably more than you could ever ask or imagine. Now, I have a very, very strong imagination. If somebody tells me, gives me permission, Eddie, I want you to dream. Oh, sweet baby Jesus, I am going to dream. And I'm going to dream as big as I possibly can because there are no limits on what I can dream. I can dream here. Anybody with me? If I said to any one of you, I give you permission to dream about what your family is going to look like, and I give you that permission, what are you going to do? Oh, buddy, you're going to dream. If I were to tell you, I give you permission to dream about what retirement looks like for those of us that are still working. Oh boy, I can set up some dreams for retirement. For those of you who are retired, I got nothing for you. So if I ask you, dream about something that you're passionate about, something that you're really excited about, the limits are off, right? The lid is off of that conversation when we're given permission to dream, and because dreams are just immeasurable. There's no limit to that. The Bible says, to him who is able to do more than we could ever ask or imagine. Immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. That's the kind of God that we serve. And then I find it striking in Genesis chapter 15 that when Abram is questioning his legacy, questioning God's plan, God moves him outside to something kind of like this, out in the Middle East somewhere, in some Bedouin tent where Abram is at with no city lights, no electricity, no fires. All you see is the great vastness of space in that setting. And God tells him, Abram, I need you to count the stars. Go ahead, start. Count the stars. In my Bible, there's a dash, and so I pause every time I read it there. Go ahead, count the stars. If you can, God says, so will your descendants be. It was the promise of God to Abraham. But God had to move Abram outside in order for him to see the vastness of the promise of God. Why? Because God is so insanely limitless that it is hard to comprehend. And so these verses here are going to kind of steer us through the next few weeks. Now, I'm going to go kind of fast because I seriously don't want to keep you too long. But how do we define limitless? This is kind of be the framework where we go the next 3 weeks. The limitless definition is straight out of the dictionary, is without limit. It's boundless. There's no boundaries. It's not confined. It's unable to be contained. Limitless means having no lid or cap. Limitless means having no measurable ending, and on we might be able to describe it. And actually, the definition is kind of long in the dictionary. And so we have this definition of limitless. And again, in the context of the series, we're going to be talking about limitless prayer, presence, and power, and how that relates to where we are today. How many of you have one of these? This is my cell phone. People got one of these. Raise your hands again if you got a cell phone. Okay? How many of you have a data plan? Raise your hands if you got a data plan. If you don't know what that is, raise your hand, because you probably have one. Okay. Thank you. So the challenge in our household is that we have 10 gigs of data. The challenge is not that we have 10 gigs of data. The challenge is that we have 4 users sharing 10 gigs of data. The additional challenge is, and I did not ask her permission, but it's the one sitting over here, kind of awkwardly squirming when I talk about data, which just so happens to be my 14-year-old daughter, Abby. So the issue isn't that we have 10 gigs of data. The issue isn't that we necessarily have to share 10 gigs of data. The issue is that Abby's a data hog. Anyway. And we're talking about this the other day. And really, nobody notices anything different until 3 days into the billing cycle. I have to text Abby and say, hey, kiddo, I'm turning off your data. You're already at 4.5 gigs. And so it's just a downer from there on out. And it's a challenge. And so I saw recently, how many of you seen recently, that AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, a couple other major cell phone carriers are offering unlimited data? Unlimited data. How many... Okay, I'm going to digress for just a minute. Unlimited data. And so I started looking into that, because unlimited data in our scenario, hallelujah for unlimited data. And so I started reading the fine print. How many of you read the fine print? So I started reading about unlimited data. And I realized that with one of the major carriers, AT&T, they offer you 20 gigs of data at normal speed. Once you reach 20 gigs, they start throttling back your data so that your speed is terrible. And so you might have unlimited data, but that doesn't mean that you have unlimited access. What it means is that you have unlimited frustration because nothing works anymore. And so the scenario plays itself out. Facebook. 2.5 seconds, Facebook isn't loading up. What is wrong with my phone? What is wrong with Facebook? Facebook is so insanely terrible. The feed will not refresh. Kill the app. Instagram. After waiting an eternity, 3 seconds, Instagram feed will not refresh. Kill the app. Snapchat. And Snapchat will not snap, and it will not chat. And we kill that one. And then we go to whatever else is there. If it was me by this time, I would go to my Google app, and the Google app won't even load. So maybe you try to load your browser, and you type in, why will none of my apps load? Is it because my phone is stupid? Search. And that won't even work. And so you come to realize that it must be your phone, because after all, it's an antique. You've had it all of 6 months, and so it is no longer up to date. The processor is terrible. The camera, for goodness sakes, will only take a 6-megapixel selfie, and we all know that that is not acceptable in Snapchat and Instagram and all the other social media stuff we have. So what it comes down to is that I need a new phone. I need a new phone. But while I'm waiting for the new phone, I'll go ahead and open the Bible app, because I'm feeling very spiritual right now. Oh, look at that. The Bible app opened. Welcome to my world. So what we realize is that because even though we were promised unlimited data, once we reached a certain mark or once we used a certain amount, it really was limited. It was never truly unlimited in the first place, and the limitations were all built in not for your success, but for your frustration. The limitations were built in for the corporation's success or the carrier's success so that they could continue to offer this false advertisement of unlimited data. It's a travesty. And so we become accustomed to this idea of unlimited not really being unlimited. We become accustomed to this thing called limitless, which really has lids and limits in the fine print. And we've been burned so many times by the fine print. We've been burned so many times by the false promises that anytime we see free upgrade, we know there is no free upgrade because nothing's free. And anytime we read unlimited data, we know it's not unlimited data because they throttle your speeds anyway and you, God forbid, can't use Facebook and Instagram. And nobody wants to live in a world where you can't Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Come on, somebody. So, we become very in tune to the idea that we have to question every promise that is given when it comes to things like limitless and unlimited and all of that. I see a lot of heads nodding, and you kind of know where I'm going with this whole thing. And so we come to this idea of a limitless God. We come to this idea of God being unlimited in power, presence, mercy, forgiveness, all of those things. We come to this concept that God really does have unlimited ability to forgive and to extend grace and to call people who are lost and to redeem lost souls and to restore people that are broken. And we automatically think, but is it really unlimited? Is it really limitless? And then we're encouraged as believers to pray. The prayer of the righteous availeth much, James says. It's on our prayer sheet. And we wonder, I wonder if my prayer is actually limitless. I wonder if somewhere in this cosmic expanse of prayer and eternity and all of these things, if God really does put a stop on my prayer. Now, you can pray, God might say. You can pray, but I'm going to throttle the speed back a little bit, and I'm kind of putting a stop action on the prayers that I'm going to answer right now because you've really kind of reached your limit. You've snapped too many pictures. You've posted too many Instagram uploads, and so we're just going to take a break, spiritually speaking, with your prayer life until the next billing cycle kicks in and you get your 20 gigs of data back. Now, it's funny to think about, but I think more often than not, that is how some of us approach prayer. Because we become so conditioned in the world that we live in that everything has a string. Everything has a limit. Everything has a lid. So how can God really be able to do immeasurably more that we can ever ask or imagine? How is that even possible? How is God really limitless? How is my prayer life really limitless? And so we come to the table of this questioning and this doubt. Are the little prayers more answerable than the big ones? Do I have a weekly prayer limit? You know, what might it look like if I prayed too much? The standard, God knows what I need anyway. Why do I need to pray? And so we begin to ask all of these questions, and it influences how we pray. It influences why we pray. It influences what we pray. It influences our entire prayer life because we cannot wrap our head around the fact that God really is unlimited in his ability to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. So what does God in his word say about prayer? Well, it says a lot, and many of you know this. God's word is chock full of prayer and thoughts on prayer and instruction to prayer. We're going to land at the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going to go right now. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 15. We're going to kind of blow through this kind of quick. Matthew 5:15 is the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is going to give us the famous words of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Let me just set this up for you real quick, because there's parallel passages in Matthew and Luke. Luke chapter 11 has a similar passage there where the Lord's Prayer is. In Luke, it says, in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says that after Jesus was praying, His disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us how to pray like John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. So there was an invitation, or a request rather, from the disciples to teach, to have Jesus teach them how to pray. The following interaction, what we will see in Luke 11, is the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We know most of those words. Now jump back to Matthew. Matthew records Jesus speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, and he's speaking to the crowds. And he gives this analogy of the Pharisees praying and how ridiculous that is, and all of the rules and regulations and everything that's added there. And then Jesus says, when you pray, pray this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Some manuscripts have, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And Jesus gives us this beautiful prayer. Stop right there just a minute. Jesus, Savior of the world. Jesus, Son of God. Jesus, present with God at creation. Jesus, second chair out of the three when we talk about the Trinity, yet they all sit in the same chair, and so we won't wrap our brain around that this morning. However, the second piece of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, Creator of the universe, Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, disciples say, teach us how to pray. He's got audience with the multitudes. He gets to instruct them on prayer, and these are the words that he says. Out of all of the words that he could put together in sentence structure, grammar, and syntax, and connection to build a sentence, he chooses these. Out of the vast array of anything he could have communicated in that moment, he chooses, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's what he says. That's how he taught his disciples to pray. That's what he communicates to the crowds. Why did he do that? Because in my estimation, in my thinking, the Lord's Prayer is this prayer nucleus that everything revolves around. You can go through the Lord's Prayer line by line and extract the details to apply to every single area of your life. Our Father denotes relationship. It denotes authority. Our Father in heaven, position. He rules in heaven. He rules the earth. He is our Father, relationship. Hallowed be your name. Reverence, godly fear, honor. All of those types of things. Your kingdom come. God's kingdom is not of this world. It's from a different place. The kingdom dynamic is different in God's kingdom than it is in our kingdom. And line by line, you can go through there and see how all of this applies to our life. It becomes this prayer nucleus. Now, think about this. Define prayer. In your head right now, define prayer. Ready, set, go, stop, because I want to tell you something different. I'm going to tell you how to define prayer for just a minute. And I did that way because you're already thinking of how to define prayer. That's the beautiful thing about how our brain works. So when looking at how to define prayer, prayer is defined by Webster's dictionary basically this way. Actually, I want to do something. We're going to do something a little bit different. Joshua, pull up. Do you have a dictionary app on your phone? Okay. Pull up Webster's dictionary and search prayer. While he's doing that, we're going to do something else. Because I was going to pull up my phone and do all that, but Josh is going to do it for me. What I'm going to tell you right now is how to define prayer in the Greek. Now, I don't speak Greek fluently. I'm not a scholar in Greek. That's why I have really smart people around me and really good tools that help me learn this stuff. So the Greek word for prayer in the context of Matthew chapter 6 is this word. Prosukomai. See, I told you I wasn't a Greek scholar. Prosukomai. That's how you say that word. Prosukomai. It's one word made out of two. The first word is pros. The second word is eukomai. Now, in Greek, when they taught, when they spoke, they communicated ideas, they communicated thoughts, they communicated a deep meaning of words that we just don't have the carryover in the English language. Do you have it? Okay, come up here with me. And so in the Greek, we see this word, you keep it, and pros, the word pros is a word that implies motion or movement. It's where we get the word prostrate from, where you would fall prostrate before the Lord or in reverence or in honor. But did I say that wrong? Did I? Okay, you get the idea. I never claimed to be a smart guy, all right? I didn't. My whole message, legitimate, I've lost all of you. Okay, let's pray. Jesus, we love you. Prostrate. I'm sorry. So falling prostrate. How red am I? Okay. It's better than what I said in first service, trust me. Anyway, it's where we get that word from. To bow, to fall on your face. It's a forward movement. It's a moving forward. That's what this word implies. That it's movement towards something. And so now you come to the next word, which is yukomai, which literally means to wish or to ask. But by implication, in Matthew chapter 6, it literally means to pray to God. So you combine those two words together, and what you get is the literal definition of this word, to pray, is to move forward with momentum towards something that you value so that you can have genuine conversation. I'm going to say that one more time. The word pray in Matthew chapter 6 means that you are moving forward towards someone so that you might have genuine conversation. That's the Greek definition. The English definition are things like this. You have got a messed up version. Okay, look up, not prayer, look up pray. And then stand up here awkwardly. So he'll read that in just a minute, but I'm gonna paraphrase it because our time is running out. But so in English, our definition of pray literally means to speak, to ask something. So yeah, so it's often used as a function word in introducing a question, a request, or a plea. To get something, to make a request in a humble manner, to address God or a God with adoration, confession, supplication, thanksgiving. So, good. Go sit down. We're both really awkward up here right now. So the English translates this word very, very one-sided. It has to do with everything about you. You ask, you present the supplication, you present the request, you summon God, you do all of those things. That's how we define this word pray in the English language. I'm telling you, we've lost something in translation. Because if we approach prayer on a one-sided angle, we will never ever experience the limitless capability that prayer was designed to offer to God's people. When it is completely one-sided, what happens when what you ask for, God says no? What happens when what you ask for and God gives it to you? What happens when what you're hoping for, you receive? What happens when what you're yearning for, you don't receive? Well, if you're anything like me, you just make a new list and hope it matches up with God's list so you get what you want. That's the English version of prayer. I'm going to pray to God to get what I want. I'll even promise to change my life if he gets me out of this terrible situation. As long as I get what I want, I've prayed right. And you've prayed limited. And you've prayed with a lid because you do not understand what prayer is. The Bible says you ask but you do not receive because you are asking for the wrong things with the wrong motives. And so we approach prayer sometimes from a completely improper angle. What prayer is a marked movement towards somebody so that you can have a genuine conversation with them. That is the Greek definition of prayer. So what does that look like? Imagine your closest friend right now. Closest friend, maybe a spouse, maybe a brother, a sister, a friend that you had since high school. Imagine your closest friend. Can you tell them anything? Yes. Can you be completely real and transparent with them? Yes. Will they judge you? No. Will they ask you difficult questions? Yes. Can you be completely honest and real and maybe even cuss in front of them? God forbid. Yes, you can. Because that's what genuine relationships facilitate. That's what genuine relationships foster, is genuine communication. And all of the hurt and pain, joy and excitement, all of that is accepted in a genuine relationship. But genuine conversation cannot come about unless there is genuine relationship present. That is what prayer is. Prayer is not simply asking. Prayer is not simply getting. But God says, ask and you shall receive, and I'm grateful for what I have received. God says, seek and you will find, and I'm grateful for the things that I've found. God says, knock and the door will be open. And I'm glad there have been doors that have been open. And then there's times where God says, no. And then there's times when God says, wait for longer than 2.5 seconds for your Instagram feed to open up. God says, wait, the timing's not right. God says, be patient because you're just not quite ready. That's what prayer is. Prayer, limitless prayer, is the attitude of moving closer to God, closer to His presence, closer to His power, so that you can have a genuine conversation because you have a genuine relationship. Some of us, our prayers are not being answered because we don't have genuine relationship. And we put the cart before the horse. And we're frustrated. And we're frustrated because the relationship comes first. I could illustrate it, you know, I could illustrate it a lot of different ways, but our time is holy buckets. Our time is done. Really. This is where we need to land in order to springboard into next week. Next week we're going to talk about God's presence and the limitless opportunities that God's presence gives us, as we experienced this morning. And so this is where we need to land to get there. The limitless capability of prayer is directly attached to whom you are praying to or moving towards. The limitless capability of prayer is directly attached to whom you are praying to or moving towards. That is why God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Not because he was insecure, because he knew only he possessed unlimited capability, unlimited power, limitless supply, limitless provision, limitless healing. He knew that no other god, false idol or false prophet could ever do what he could do. That's why he tells us, have no other gods before me. Because the limitless capability of prayer is directly attached to who you are praying to or moving towards. Genuine conversation only happens through genuine relationship. Prayer is a conscious move away from our will towards God's will. Prayer is an on-purpose shift to let God's will become mine and my will to fade into God's. That's the limitless capacity of prayer. The limitless capacity of prayer is attached to the limitless capacity of God, who can do immeasurably more than you could ever ask or imagine. Tonight, look at the stars and count them. And realize that the same God who controls that controls the order and the chaos in your life. And he has invited you to genuine relationship and genuine conversation. That is how you pray without ceasing. That is how we do what God has called us to do when he has asked us to pray. Rough landing this morning. I'm sorry about that. But that's where we're going to stop. That's where we're going to end. And so I want to invite you to stand with me now as we close. And as we go through this week, let's make a point to pray. Let's make a point to have a genuine conversation because we have a genuine relationship with God. He invites all of that. And so, Jesus, as we end our time today, we thank you for all that you've done. Your presence has been sweet and it's been powerful, and we're thankful for that. God, thank you that you have taught us how to pray. Thank you that you encourage us to pray. Thank you that genuine conversation is attached to genuine relationship, and that is what you really desire, to be close to us. So thank you for your word. Thank you for our time together today. Be with us as we go. We ask for your blessing and your courage to do all that you've asked us to do. In Jesus' name, say amen with me.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for coming. And we are earlier than 1 o'clock. You're welcome. Very good. Say hi to somebody on the way out. Love somebody. Handshake, high five, a hug if it's appropriate. Love